Appreciate it. With the Lord's help today, I'd like to speak to you regarding the mission's emphasis in Antioch. The mission's emphasis in Antioch. And we don't have any notes that are going to come up for you today. I just did not get them to Brother Costa. And so listen carefully. I hope you're taking notes, though. And I hope, more importantly, that you're letting the Holy Spirit of God minister to you in this hour. Let's read the first 12 verses of Acts 13. You read with me on every other verse, beginning in verse 1. You join with me on verse 2, please, and onward. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. When they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Boy, I tell you what, I was reading that this week. That's going on today, all the time. We'll talk about that. I'm going to start preaching that, and I didn't even finish reading. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. May God bless the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage, and thank you for this church at Antioch, and thank you that, Lord, we see here that they weren't just concerned about Antioch. They were concerned about beyond. Father, I pray that you would just challenge us in this hour. Lord, I pray that you would raise up someone from Anchor Baptist Church that would go somewhere else at your leading and your calling to be missionaries and preachers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may we go in our homes and in our neighborhoods, but may we be willing to go around the world if it so be your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. Up until this point, the very center of the church had been in Jerusalem. We've seen that time and time again now in the book of Acts. And now we are coming to a transition. Now we are coming to a time where the church at Antioch is going to become vital for the spread of the gospel, not just in Antioch, but to Asia Minor and to Europe, and eventually to you and to me. Praise God for that. The focal point of the book of Acts is going to move north from Palestine to this area called Antioch. And really what we're going to see is that the ministry of the Apostle Paul and how God uses him, and remember his pedigree, remember his background, remember he is throwing people in jail one day for being a Christian, and within the next day, not really, but so to speak, he is now preaching the same gospel that he was throwing people in jail for. It is his ministry that is the major reason for the spread of the gospel. God uses people to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. God used someone. In my prayer this morning here at the office, I gave God praise for this. I'm not saying this about me. I'm just saying, thank you, God, for that individual that gave us the gospel. Somebody gave you the truth of the message that Jesus saves. Somebody told you that God loves you. Maybe you're watching this afternoon in your area or this morning in our area, and you're wondering, where am I going when I die? You wonder, when I die, will I be in heaven? Will I be in hell? You wonder if I've done enough good to get God's favor. Have I done enough so that when we get up to heaven and the scale is there, that the works of sin over here and my good deeds, do they balance out and I get to go into heaven? If that's what you're wondering, it's never going to be that way. There are no scales. There is no way of getting into heaven by balancing out your bad with your good. That's not how it works. No, we come to God by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the very power of the Word of God in Acts chapter number 13 today. We see that God's Word is not bound by a sorcerer. And we see that God's Word is not bound by someone who is wanting to prevent someone else from being saved. But we see the power of the Word of God brought about the salvation of this deputy by the name of Sergius Paulus. And we give God the glory for that, that there are people all over the world today that are just waiting for someone to come with the gospel. I'm so glad that we get to support a great team of missionaries, aren't you? You know, just this week we got an update from our missionary that we've just added who's going to Eurasia. We can't even talk about who it is, but hopefully you know who I'm talking about. They're 1 month away. Think about it. They're 1 month away from going to the field. Calling all those churches, traveling all those miles for us recording a message so we could watch it in the missions conference. Doing the last part of deputation, maybe in a very uncommon way, but they were called as Paul and Barnabas, the Holy Spirit called them, and the church confirmed, or the church called them, Holy Spirit, and they're working together. We'll talk about that. And this missionary has a sending church, and they believe that the Holy Spirit is leading them to go to Eurasia with the gospel, and they're going to a specific area of the world where we might say it is very dark, but they're going there with the power of the Word of God. And I believe there's people in that country where they're going to that are just ready to receive the gospel, and they too will be saved. But somebody had a heart for those people, and somebody answered the call, and a church got behind them, and churches got behind them, and we're praying and we're giving so that the mission work of the gospel, as it began right here in Acts chapter 13, it can continue on in 2021. What part are you having in this great adventure called missions? Oh, I want to have a greater part. I want to have a greater part. Only God can enable us to have that great part. If you go back in your Bible just a couple of pages to the book of Acts chapter number 11, and we see that the church of Antioch had an impact right away. Look at verse number 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. This is the church at Antioch. A great number believed. And then in verse 24, the Bible says, for he was a good man, speaking of Barnabas, full of faith in the Holy Ghost. And what happened? Much people was added unto the Lord. And so you see this much people. You see this great number believe and turned unto the Lord. And then in verse 26, the Bible says that when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. Barnabas brought Saul to Antioch. And for one whole year, they were assembling together, preaching the word of God, discipling and bringing people to grow in grace. And this, right away, we learn, once again, the impact that was made, so much so that these Gentile believers were called Christians. The very first time someone looked at them and said, you remind me of Jesus Christ. You remind me of the one who gave his life. And they were named that by even those that were not necessarily Christians. They were the very first believers to be given this title. And so the church at Antioch made an impact right away. I hope you're praying for the Anchor Baptist Church. I hope you're praying for one another. I hope you're praying that our impact would grow and grow and grow. And by the way, an impact growing doesn't mean that we have to have thousands of people coming. That's not how an impact necessarily grows. We want our influence to grow for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you are joining with me regularly asking God to do that. And so we see this church at Antioch very, very much involved. By the way, the word church, we get that word from a compound word, ekklesia. Ekklesia, many of you know that. The first part of it is the word ek, which means out of. And then lesia or kaleo, which means to call. We believe that as believers, we are a church because we are a born-again, baptized group of believers called out from the world, assembling together for the cause of Christ and propagating the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called together for a specific purpose. What is that purpose? Well, it is to bring God glory, but then be part of that, and the greatest part of that is what we call the Great Commission. We have been brought together not to build a kingdom for ourselves, but to build a kingdom for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been commissioned to carry out the Great Commission. We have the opportunity to do that right here in Burnaby, don't we? We have the opportunity to do that right where you live in Surrey and in Port Coquitlam and around Vancouver. We are commissioned to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thankfully, we are able to do that here. But then it does not stop. And we see here the very beginning of the missions program in a local church in Antioch. And you say, why do we have a missions program? Because they had them in the Bible. Really, what we want to do is we want to mirror this church on the first century churches. We want to look in the Bible and see the polity, in other words, church politics. How do we conduct ourselves? How do we know what to do? Well, we go into the Word of God. You see, the Word of God doesn't change. Our Savior doesn't change. And so we want to have a first century church. Yes, they didn't have live stream services like this, and we don't prefer this to be our only method of meeting as well. But I'll tell you this, the church assembled together this morning for about 45 minutes. How many do you have to be a church? Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. We had a handful of men over here praying together. I'm telling you, the church assembled. And that's not because we're somebody, it's because He is somebody. And I'm thankful for what we can do and how we can do it in 2021. But let's take a look at this text and let's give you several things and just work our way through it and let God have His will and way. All right, number one, we see the church ministers. The church ministers. By the way, I'm giving you these because this is the pattern that we need to follow. This is the pattern that we need to have here at Anchor Baptist Church. Number one, the church ministers. And we see that in verse number two. The Bible says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me. Okay, so they ministered to the Lord. This was a church filled with believer priests. What is a believer priest? Well, if you flip that around, we believe that as Baptists, and we have what's called the priesthood of the believer. You understand what that means? Let me give you a quick one, all right? It's the P in Baptist. It is the priesthood of the believer. Here's what it means in a nutshell. Because we have been saved, because we have been redeemed, because we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. The minute, the very moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in your heart, in your life, that we have the privilege to go right to God with all of our requests through His Son, right to God with all of our requests. We have the priesthood of the believer. We don't do it as they did in the Old Testament anymore, because the Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and He gives us that access. He applied His blood once and for all to the mercy seat. Therefore, as Christians, we don't have to go to the pastor to get to God. We can go right to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we see them doing here in Acts chapter 13. They are constantly praying together to seek the mind of God. What greater thing could we do as a church than to agree together to seek the mind of God? I must admit that I have tried things as a pastor that I probably did not seek God's mind enough on. And they maybe didn't even last. Or didn't have it wasn't the right timing and we advanced too quickly. I'm all for advancing. I'm all for moving forward. But sometimes, as the Old Testament writer wrote, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is what the early church is doing here. They are seeking the mind of God. Would you quickly go with me to 1 Peter 2:9? 1 Peter 2:9. The Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." There it is. "And holy nation." How about this one? "A peculiar people." That's what we are. We have that priesthood of the believer. "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness." Aren't you glad for that today? Wow. "Called me out of darkness into his marvelous light." Praise God for the light of the gospel. Praise God that you and I have a light to shine. And it's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining through us to the lost world in which we live in. Praise God that we have now the privilege of praying together as a church family and fasting together as a church family. And what is the purpose of it all? The purpose of it all is to seek the mind of God. In this case, they were seeking the mind of God in relation to taking two of their five men that were listed in this church and sending them on. Think about that. Number two, we see the Holy Spirit calls. The Holy Spirit calls. In verse 2, the Bible says, "The Holy Ghost said." Now stop right there and think about this. I don't know exactly what happened. I wasn't there. You say, "Pastor, do you believe that the Holy Ghost spoke out loud?" I honestly don't know. But I know this. It's quite possible that it happened that way. Okay? But I know this. They're praying together. They're fasting together. And so it is also possible, because I don't really think that the Holy Ghost is going to speak out loud necessarily to me today and tell me to do something. You know what? He speaks all the time. It could be that because they were agreeing together in prayer, it could be that because they were fasting, it could be because they were ministering to the Lord, that as a group, the Holy Spirit of God said, "Barnabas and Saul." And they all knew together. Why? Because the Spirit of God maketh intercession that we are the sons of God. My spirit bears witness with your spirit and yours with mine in the family of God. Again, I'm not trying to read something into this that's not there, and I'm not trying to say he didn't speak out loud. I'm just trying to say that when I look at this, I think, how can we have this happen today? Are we going to sit around and wait for God to, "Okay, Anchor Baptist, do this"? Or are we going to be in his word, and are we going to pray together, and are we going to fast when he leads us to fast, and are we going to agree together on what God wants us to do so that we know it's the Holy Ghost of God that's moving in this way? And by the way, we need to know that. We need to know that the Holy Ghost is leading us in certain ways. And the Bible says there that the Holy Ghost said, "Whereunto I have called them." Verse 2. "Whereunto I have called them." What does this mean? The work that they were called to came directly from God. Wow. By the way, God is still calling you and God is still calling me to a great work. Paul and Barnabas were influenced greatly by the Holy Spirit of God to engage in the preaching work of the gospel. The Holy Spirit calls, verse 2, number 3. The church and the Holy Spirit send. Look at verses 3 and 4. "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away, Barnabas and Saul. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost." So here we have a combined effort between the church at Antioch and the Holy Spirit of God agreeing together that Paul and Barnabas are headed out to be our missionaries sent by the Antioch Baptist Church. We didn't know it was called that. And they're sent out. They work together. Now, I want to say something, and I want to say it carefully because it's convicting. The average church today does not hear the Holy Spirit. I just got through talking about it, but now let's emphasize it a little bit more. Why is this? Because the average church is filled with Christians that never or seldom hear from the Holy Spirit. What is the church? A group of born-again, baptized believers. So if the church is not hearing from the Holy Spirit, we can conclude that the believers are not hearing from the Holy Spirit. Or they are hearing from the Holy, or the Holy Spirit is speaking, but they're not hearing it. Because there's too much stuff in the way of hearing what God's Spirit is attempting to do. You see, God's Spirit is the energy. I hate to use that term, but it's how it relates to me. God's Spirit is the energy that makes the church function as the church should function. It is not in putting together things line upon line and let's just plan it all out. We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God to function in 2021. We need God's power. I need God's power in my home, and you need God's power in your home, and together we need God's power in the church. Imagine today opening the hood of a car and it having no engine. Unless you're in the Flintstones era, you're not going to get very far with that. Right? I mean, it could be a beautiful car. I mean, it could be just waxed and polished and everything. And you pull up to it and it says for sale. And you say, hey, you know what? I learned this. Let's start it up and pop the hood. Well, I have one problem. It doesn't have an engine. Oh, that's a problem. I mean, it's candy apple red, if that's your color. It's midnight blue, if that's your color. It's whatever color you figure it out, it's your color. And the tires are really nice, brand new, brand spanking new tires. And it's ready to roll. Problem, though, it has no engine. Look, friends, we can make the church look good on the outside. We can have all our ducks in a row. We can have the tie on, the shirt on, and it can be pressed. And we can have our shoes polished. And we can have everything how we want it. But I'll tell you what, we need the Holy Spirit of God to move in our lives. We need to humble ourselves and fast and pray as they did here. If we want to do serious business with God and do what God is calling us to do, we must seek that. And we must seek the Holy Spirit's power. It has no bearing on anything if we don't have the Holy Spirit of God moving in our midst. Think about it. A Spirit-controlled church will be known because it is saturated in the Word of God. Oh, may our church be saturated. And it's not our church, it's His church. Someone once said the Holy Spirit will put the mark of heaven on a ministry. That's what we need. We need the mark of the Holy Spirit of God. The local church as well followed the Spirit's leading in sending men forth to be missionaries. Notice that word, separate. Separate. It's the word to set apart. To set apart for a special purpose. The church was in tune with the Holy Spirit. And when the church is in tune with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is moving, it is a well-oiled machine, but it is powered by the Holy Spirit of God. I long for that, don't you? And not just occasionally. I long for that. Then because of that, and when that is taking place, notice that the church recognizes the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. And they say, okay, Barnabas and Saul, we agree. Time for you to move on. Don't think for a minute that that wasn't a difficult decision for the church at Antioch to make. You see how many people were listed in chapter 13, verse 1, as prophets and teachers? These would have been the leaders of the church, right? See that? Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. So there's five men that are mentioned. And the church says, with the Holy Spirit of God leading, we're going to send two to leave. That's 40% of the leadership that we see from Acts 13 that they're cutting off and saying, okay, you're going to go. How were they able to do that? That doesn't seem like a very good decision. Of course it doesn't when we're not letting the Holy Spirit of God. But if that decision is not made, and again, I know the sovereignty of God, follow me. That decision is not made, the gospel may never have come to you. And the gospel may never have come to me. Again, it's not about building the church at Antioch. It's not about building the church at Anchor Baptist to be this huge monstrosity. It's about building His church wherever He wants us to build it and for His honor and glory. And we must be able to know what the Holy Spirit of God is leading and how the Holy Spirit of God is leading. I want to say this. May God continue to raise up laborers from within Anchor Baptist Church that desire to be filled with and led by the Spirit of God to accomplish God's perfect will for their lives. It may not be to go to Liberia. It may not be to go to the Philippines, but it might be. It may not be to go down to El Salvador or Honduras. It may not be to go to some of the 1040 window. I hope you prayed for the 1040 window last week. I guess we're ending today. Today is the seventh day for that prayer time for the 1040 window, Eurasia. It may not be to go and help the family there in Sutton, the Strother family, celebrating, I think I saw their seventh year maybe today. Praise the Lord. I'm just saying that what we desire is we desire to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And if the Holy Spirit of God takes one family and two families, and we know God is moving in this, and they're to go, and they're to work together, and they're going to go over here, or over there, or over there, it doesn't matter. Name the place. It doesn't matter. There's people there that need Christ. How are we going to know that this is the way to go? We've got to have the line to heaven clear in the Holy Spirit of God. May God help us as a church, as we continue to give of our resources to enable them to go. Praise God that sometime in 2021, hopefully by the end of the summer, Caleb and Abby and Carson will be in Uganda and in the place where God has called them. Keep praying for that, and they are sent out from Anchor Baptist Church, and it is an honor, it is a privilege, it's a great responsibility. But we're praying for others, that God would call others as well. Again, we must be in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. So the church ministers, the Holy Spirit calls, the church and the Holy Spirit send. Number four, Barnabas and Saul preach. This is the pattern. Folks, what am I giving you today? I'm giving you just what the Bible tells us. And what is the Bible telling us? This is the pattern. It should be our pattern in 2021. Just like it was a few years after Christ goes back to heaven. The first missionaries go out as a team, verse number 5. And when they, Paul and Saul and Barnabas, were at Salamis, they preached the word of God. They preached the word of God. They go out as a team. There are many benefits to going as a team. In fact, we read of that in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse number 7, where the Bible says that he, Jesus, called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth, how? By two and two. And so we see Barnabas and Saul. You're going out to preach the gospel of the word of God. And by the way, this is the most important ministry, the ministry of the word. Now, they go right to the synagogue. Notice that in verse number 5. They go right to the synagogue. And why? Because in this day, any learned man was given the opportunity to speak to the people in what was an open synagogue meeting. It's kind of like open-air preaching. And obviously, we know Saul was very learned. He's very educated. And so they go there. They know that. They know the custom. They know what's happening. And so they go there and they begin preaching the word of God right away. The Bible even tells us that John Mark comes along to be a helper. Notice that at the end of verse number 5. And they had also John to their minister. I wrote down in my notes that maybe this was the first internship of all time. I don't know. A ministry intern. But here's John Mark and he's there as well. But anytime the word of God is preached, we know something's coming. By the way, this is the pattern today. So when it comes, we should not be discouraged. when it comes, in fact, we should rejoice. Because it's the pattern that we find in the early church. Number five, Satan opposes. Satan opposes. He doesn't roll over and play dead. He's trying to kill and destroy. Look at verse 6. When they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. His name interpreted in verse 8, Elymas. And this false prophet, this Bar-Jesus, interpreted Elymas, he's with someone whose name is Sergius Paulus. Let me just back up a little bit. It was about a 250-kilometer journey across the island of Cyprus to Paphos. Barnabas, by the way, is from this area. So he is very familiar with it. And then this false prophet, a sorcerer posing as a prophet, Bar-Jesus, who wanted nothing to do with the Word of God. He was there, sent there by Satan himself. But there was somebody there who wanted help. I love what the Bible says in verse 7. You see that? Who called for Barnabas and Saul. Sergius Paulus calls for them. Why? Notice what it says. Desired. Wow. So there are people today that are there still. They are still there. They are here. They are around us. We find two things. Number one, we find the devil is alive and well today, stirring things up, sending false prophets. He's got Bar-Jesuses everywhere, trying to stir things up, trying to prevent the Sergius Pauluses of the day who are desiring to hear the Word of God. They know something is missing in their life and they want help. And so we have a confrontation that takes place. Opposition. Satan brings it. We see that. When I read this text, you know what I'm reminded of? Prayer letters. I'm reminded of prayer letters down through the years that we get in. Many of them used to come in the mail. Now they mainly come by email. And I open them up and I read them. And every once in a while, really quite frequently, there's something in there about someone who's hungry for the gospel, but there's this opposition. There's this, it's a family member that's in the way, or this is in the way, or that's in the way. And what is it? It's the same thing that happened in Acts chapter 13. Opposition is going to come when we go forward with the truth. And all the more reason for us to continue to intercede on behalf of our missions team, that God would give them boldness, that God would give them protection to continue to follow the pattern, yes, even for that church, in that village, in that city, that they continue to minister the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Spiritual warfare, it's not something to just push to the side. It is real. It continues. Satan and his force of demons will always oppose the Word of God. Notice, we paused in the reading about it in the verse number 8, where it says this, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. This is exactly what Satan is doing today. If you're listening, by the way, if you're listening right now online and you're not saved, I will tell you this, Satan is going to do everything he can to withstand you so that you will turn away, so that you will not want to hear what the Word of God says. Please, I'm imploring you, I'm begging you, know this, God loves you and God wants to save you today. And don't turn off the Holy Spirit of God. Don't turn off that conviction. Today, respond to it and be saved. Satan is opposing it. He's opposing it here in this first missions church and these missionaries that have gone out, and he's opposing it today, seeking to turn you and me, seeking to turn the lost away from the faith, seeking to turn teenagers away from the faith, seeking to turn your coworkers away from the faith, seeking to turn all nations away from the faith. This is Satan's task. Oh, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Bible, the sword of the Spirit. We have the hope that lies within us that we can help them. Don't be distracted. Don't be defeated. And don't be depressed when that opposition comes. Expect it to come and allow God's power to work in and through us. That's what happens here. Number 6, Paul stands. Can you see him? man. Verse 9, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Have you ever had somebody set their eyes on you? Probably your mother has done that before. You know, when you weren't doing what you were supposed to do. And your mother set her eyes on you. She did not have to say one single word. Just set her eyes on you. That's what I kind of think of when I read this. The penetrating eyes of a mother. When a child is misbehaving, I had those eyes look my way before. I'm sure you have too. Here's Paul putting his eyes on him, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, standing up for the truth. By the way, the only way to stand for God is to be emptied of self and filled with the Spirit. It's impossible to stand for God in the power of the flesh. There's no way anybody would do what Paul just did unless they were filled with the Spirit. You know why many times we fall? You know why many times we don't stand for Christ? Because we're not filled with the Spirit. Well, may that change today. May we start living in the very presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul was given divine discernment regarding the intentions of this sorcerer. You see, here's the bottom line. A soul was on the line. A man's soul was on the line. Sergius Paulus. And it was so much on the line that his heart was open to the truth. That Paul, in the power of the Spirit of God, does what he does here in the end of verse number 11. He somehow, with the power of God, brings this mist across his eyes that he can't see anymore. And he staggers and stumbles all over the place, verse number 11. Notice, though, if you will, go back in verse number 10 and notice some terms. Oh, full of all subtlety. Full of all subtlety, that means craft, deceit, or guile. Full of all subtlety and mischief. To be subtle is to catch with the bait. To be an enemy of righteousness. Notice, he is bringing this man these words. They are not Paul's words. They are words of God spoken through Paul. May God help us to have that same power in our life. To stand. Why? Because there are souls who are hanging in the balance. There are souls that need to be saved. We must stand. And then lastly, praise God, the deputy believes. This is the pattern. This is the pattern. In 2021, we must have a church that ministers. Praise together. Labors together, fast together. We must have the Holy Spirit of God calling in our lives. We must have the church and the Holy Spirit of God in unison, in agreement, calling and labors from within to go with the gospel around the world and maybe other parts even of our country. We must have it. We must recognize that the preaching of the Word of God is what brings about the power brings about the salvation of souls. It is the foolishness of preaching that we need to have. And we must recognize that when all of this is taking place, Satan is going to oppose. And when Satan opposes, because the Spirit is working in and through us, we can stand on the power of God, not in our own ways. And when all of this takes place, we know that the Word of God will bring fruit. You see, the deputy believes. Notice verse 12. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished. Notice, not at the miracle. You see that? I think that contributed to it, but notice the emphasis that God puts in the word here, that he was astonished at the doctrine. Not the guy walking around that couldn't see. He was astonished at the doctrine that Paul had been preaching, because that is what brings about faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe we have here the first convert from the mission field, Sergius Paulus. God's word, empowered by God's Spirit, will bring forth fruit to the glory of God, whether it's in Paphos or whether it's in your neighborhood or being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. There's a miracle performed by Paul, but God's word brought about the salvation. It is God's word that brings faith. So, my prayer today, the mission's emphasis in Antioch will not be just in Antioch. But the mission's emphasis in Antioch, the pattern, and we will see it over and over again at Anchor Baptist Church. And we will follow exactly this pattern, because I can tell you for sure, whenever you and I surrender our life to the Lord, opposition is going to come. But we stand on this. We don't stand on ourselves. We don't stand on our debate skills. We stand on the Scriptures. And we do. We learn them so that we can share truths from the Word of God. And I hope that you're praying that we would be a church and a people, which means together that we hear the Holy Spirit of God. We know just how the Holy Spirit of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you again for being a part of this meeting today. I wonder, do you have the testimony of Sergius Paulus? You say, who is this? Well, you know who it is. We've been talking about it. And I can tell you right now, he's in heaven. He's in heaven. Sergius Paulus is in heaven, and I'll meet him someday. You know why I know he's in heaven? Because he believed. He accepted Christ as his Savior. And I've done the same. I'm nobody. I don't deserve it, but I've made that decision. I wonder, have you? If you died today, do you know for sure that you would be in heaven? Or do you have some doubt about it? There's a way that you can contact us that's on the screen right now. Oh, I pray if you've never been saved, I pray that today you would reach out to us. I promise you I will get back to you before the day is out. Will you meet Sergius Paulus with me someday? You only will if you've come to the same belief that he and I have come to. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to heaven. No amount of good works can take you there. Only Jesus can take you there. Then, Christians, I hope and pray that we've seen this pattern anew and afresh. It's awakened us, encouraged us, seek this to be done again and again and again within our local.